Soon after taking office 15 months ago, the Trump administration dismantled the $40 billion U.S. Agency for International Development. Days later, Secretary of State Marco Rubio issued an exemption for what he described as life-saving humanitarian assistance. But what that exemption covered was never clearly defined, and in practice, funding for health programs has been sharply reduced. Our Fred DeSam Lazaro begins a two-part report from the East African nation of Uganda.
It's near the start of another day for Dr. Otim Pius in the HIV clinic of Mukono Hospital.
We used to have about 4 doctors working in the clinic, but right now I am alone. We have about 3,200 patients. It is impossible for me to see all of them.
His patients are among millions across Africa who've received treatment and life-saving antiretroviral drugs for HIV under PEPFAR, a program begun in 2003 by the George W. Bush administration. It all ground to an abrupt halt at the start of the second Trump administration. It shut down USAID and issued a stop work order across all aid programs. Dr. Pius says HIV incidence and mortality rates more than doubled.
For both HIV and also HIV-associated illnesses, like TB, like meningitis, close to 15% of the clients dying of malaria, and TB. It is very painful to lose someone of a treatable disease.
It's about 10 years.
The numbers began to trend downward, closer to 10%, after an exemption was issued for certain life-sustaining programs. These included various HIV drugs.
It is still high, but it is lower than during that time.
That's because even though many, though not all, formulations of HIV medications were replenished, programs to actually get them to patients were not restored.
Having HIV drugs available at the health center does not necessarily mean they're accessible, especially for patients in isolated rural communities, so-called last mile. Transportation, even if it's just $10 a month, is out of reach for many people here.
The poverty levels are high in our community. These are fishing communities. They don't have stable incomes, yeah? So one of the reasons why the girls sell their bodies is to be able to earn a living.
Marjorie Namale runs a non-government enterprise that was supported by USAID, serving remote villages near Lake Victoria, counseling young women on safe sex, offering training in basic work skills, and critically, making sure they got testing and medicines for HIV prevention or treatment, and transportation money to get to a health center.
So all of that is now gone.
All that is gone.
She took me to visit some of her now former clients. These women, in their early 20s, shared similar worries.
They used to give us family planning. That's my anxiety right now. How do I protect myself from getting a child? I can't access condoms.
I was just learning how to do hair braiding, but halfway through the journey, the fund was closed. I didn't learn much. I don't have anything.
I was very hopeful that I'm going to learn hairdressing. At least I would have something to do to earn a living. But when Trump closed everything, that hope was gone.
All of these women are considered at high risk for HIV, Namale says, but none have been tested. Many of her former HIV-positive clients are no longer taking their medications. 53-year-old grandmother Catherine had been off them 4 months when we visited. Unable to afford transport to the regional health center, she tried a private clinic.
I had also been getting pills for high blood pressure. I went to a nearby clinic and it was 180. They told me to come back with 10,000 shillings, which I don't have.
That's about $3 and roughly the subsidy that Namale's clients received for transportation to health centers, where care is provided at no charge. 23-year-old Joan has been off and on her regimen of HIV drugs, causing several side effects. In her case, Namale discovered even when Joan was getting transportation money, she sometimes spent it on food for her siblings.
Some money was diabetic.
A stark measure of many patients' predicament, she says, choosing between food and medicines.
2 months off the drug, 6 months off the drug. When they feel they are doing badly, then they will find a way of how to maybe get, borrow from neighbors, transport.
So the patients crowding clinics like Dr. Pius's come in sicker.
The workers, a lot of the workers in HIV clinics were paid by Americans. The follow-up and the community systems, those were quite badly affected, and I think they have not recovered.
Peter Weiswa, health researcher at Makerere University, says the USAID cutbacks were a painful reminder of the heavy dependence on foreign aid. He says many African governments long ago pledged to spend at least 15% of their national budget on healthcare. Most have fallen way short.
Anywhere between 4, 5, at most 6 or 7, and sometimes actually dropping. It's time for African governments to really step up and finance their systems.
True assistance is self-sustainability.
That echoes a message from the Trump administration, which is revamping the U.S. approach to healthcare assistance. It requires African countries to chip in an increased share of the costs in exchange for grants from the U.S. Several countries have signed agreements under what's called the America First Global Health Strategy. That story in our next report. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Fred DeSamlazaro in Mukono, Uganda.